It's 1 in the morning and I'm standing bare-chested at my living room window. The sky is still and blistered with stars, the moon a marble. Any minute now, my neighbour, Steve, will leave the flat above mine. He'll head down to his car, the baby squirming furiously in her carrier. He takes Poppy for drives in the middle of the night, tries to soothe her to sleep with the rumble of tyres and his playlist of farmyard animal sounds. Here it comes. The sleep-slackened tread of his feet on the stairs, Poppy grizzling, his trademark mishandling of our fractious front door. I watch as he approaches the car, flicks the lock, hesitates. He's confused, knows something's not right, but his brain's still catching up. Eventually, it clicks. He swears, puts a hand to his head, makes two disbelieving laps of the vehicle. Sorry, Steve, it's all four tyres. Someone's definitely let them down. You're not going anywhere tonight. For a moment, he's a statue, lit up by the laboratory glow of the streetlight. Then, something makes him stare straight into the window I'm looking out of. I hold my nerve. As long as I stay still, it must be nearly impossible for him to see me. My blinds are shut, the flat silent and dark as a reptile resting. He can't know I have my eye pressed against a single slat, that I'm watching everything. For a moment, our gazes are soldered together before he looks away, shaking his head as Poppy treats the street to a timely scream. A light springs on in the house opposite. Brightness strikes the darkened street, exasperation drifting down from the window. Come on, mate! Steve lifts a hand, then turns to come back inside. I hear the two of them trail upstairs, Poppy wailing determinedly as they go. Steve's used to keeping strange hours, but Haley will be trying to sleep. She's recently returned to her job at a prestigious London law firm, which means it matters if she nods off in meetings. Still, my tasks for tonight are complete. I cross them off in my notebook, then sit down on the sofa, parting the blinds so I can look at the stars. I reward myself with a shot of whiskey, because that's what I do on special occasions. Then I make it a double, and down it fast. 20 minutes later, I'm ready to crash. I'm after a very specific kind of sleep, and everything I've done tonight should help me achieve it.
He's ever so hot,
says my 80-something near neighbour Iris, when I pitch up at her house a few hours later to walk her yellow Labrador Rufus. It's not yet 8 in the morning, which might account for why I haven't a clue who she's talking about. Her neighbour, Bill, who pops round most mornings with a nugget of gossip or weird little leaflet. The postman, who's just waved jauntily at us through the living room window. Postman. They're always either inanely cheerful or miserable as sin. Never a middle ground.
He's been sleeping on the kitchen tiles to stay cool.
Of course, she's talking about the dog. This happens more often than I'd like, being too exhausted to make simple conversation with someone at least twice my age. Good idea, I smile. Might try it myself. She shoots me a look.
That will hardly endear you to the ladies now, will it?
Ah, the ladies. Who are they again? Iris seems convinced there's a queue of them somewhere, keen to put their lives on hold to hang out with a guy like me.
Do you think he can cope?
She asks, gesturing at Rufus.
Out there, in this heat?
I used to be a vet. Well, not anymore, but I think Iris takes comfort from my one-time credentials. It's cooler today, I assure her. She's right that it has been warm lately, since we're only just in September. We'll go down to the boating lake, have a paddle. She smiles.
You too?
I shake my head. Prefer to commit my public order offences after hours. More exciting that way. She lights up like my lame jokes are the highlight of her day.
We're so fortunate to have you, aren't we, Rufus?
To be fair, Iris is pretty awesome herself. She wears earrings shaped like fruit and has a premium subscription to Spotify. I bend down to clip on Rufus's lead as he eases to his feet. He is still a touch on the heavy side, Iris. That won't be helping his heat tolerance. How's his diet going? She shrugs.
We can smell cheese from 50 paces, Joel. What can I say?
I sigh. I've been lecturing Iris about Rufus's food for nearly 8 years now. What was our deal? I'd walk him, you'd take care of the rest.
I know.
She starts to shoo us from the living room with her walking stick.
But I just can't resist the look on his face.